Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, in the first segment, we're talking a lot about markets and the volatility and what's happening, you know, at the start of this year, and how do you position and take advantage of some of this volatility going through the year. And we're very happy to have a recurring guest back with us today. It's Philip Peterson. He's the Chief Investment Strategist. He's also the Head of Capital Markets Research at Manulife. Philip, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Guys, thank you for having me.
Okay, let's start maybe with just a bit of a recap. Let's go back to the beginning of the year, if you wouldn't mind, Philip, and give us your thoughts, or refresh us on your thoughts of how this year was setting up for you and what happened in the first quarter.
Sure. Well, if we go back to January 1 or, you know, towards the end of 2020, we did a lot of work around different growth environments, different inflationary environments, and what asset classes tend to do well and what asset classes tend to underperform. So coming into 2021, I think it's fairly obvious that everyone expected a higher growth environment. I mean, we were heading into recovery. We had a number of vaccines that were being rolled out, and so the vaccinations were going to pick up through the first quarter, and we were moving closer to that reopening that everyone is anticipating. So with that in mind, and we also saw some inflationary pressures that we're going to continue to build. Some of them were base effects that the Fed is talking about right now, but some of them are a little bit more static or enduring, and they're going to be around, they're going to be with us for a little bit longer. But that type of environment bodes well for equities, across the board, but I will come to some of the different asset classes in a bit. And it tends to be weaker for bonds. So in a stronger growth, stronger inflationary environment, on average, you tend to see the 10-year treasury yield move up by 0.5%. Now, when we're starting from an already low base, that results in some significant losses in fixed income products that a lot of people perhaps didn't anticipate. We anticipated a weaker US dollar. We've got that. And I would say largely, for the most part, the positive kind of attitude towards equities in Canada and the United States and around the world followed through, except for one, and this is a little bit of a sore spot for me, but emerging markets, that historically this is the best environment for emerging markets, did well in the fourth quarter, but really lagged in the first quarter, you know, really in the back half of the first quarter. I mean, up until the middle of February, emerging markets were doing quite well and then just gave up all the gains. So that's the anomaly, but otherwise the environment has kind of moved along plan. In fact, you know, we would argue that maybe we've gotten a year's worth of market movements in one quarter, being the first quarter. And since then, the market's kind of nudged higher, but not with any great force. But overall, you know, I don't think anyone's complaining about the returns this year.
I've got a
Philip, let's take
a
look at the first. Let me jump in here, Dave.
Yeah.
Let me just jump in here, Dave. First 4 months, you're talking about emerging markets not going according to plan. And what I've been noticing in the first 4 months is that there's been a lot of companies, both in Canada, US, and Europe, that have been pushed up in price when these companies, where I would call them junk companies, they weren't doing well prior to the pandemic. And now there's been a big rally in some of these industries. I noticed that their foot traffic going into movie theaters was low going into the 2019, turning into 2020. They've been rallying. If you look at malls and so forth. So this recovery rally, I think, has been a junk rally for the first part, and then also emerging markets being disappointing. So can we address those two pieces of why did we get such a great return in the first 4 months, and then what's going on in emerging markets?
Sure. I would say that, yes, we did see a junk rally. We have a lot of companies with very, very stretched valuations that, you know, don't make a lot of sense. In the first quarter of the year, we had a lot of we can call them whatever we want, the bro traders, the Robin Hood and its merry men, really step in and treat the market like sports betting, you know, like a game. We saw it with GameStop, which was ridiculous when GameStop was priced, you know, per share at over $500, and it should be barely worth 10. So there was that, but there was also a lot of good quality companies that were moving up as well. I would argue the Canadian banks, you have a lot of industrial companies that, you know, did okay. And remember, 2019 was not a great environment. It was actually a weaker economic environment overall. So there were reasons to expect that some companies that didn't do well or weren't doing as well pre-COVID could do better. Remember, global trade was down in 2019. You know, earnings were headed lower, or earnings growth was much weaker in 2019. We had trade wars in 2019. All that has gone away. But you're right. There are a lot of junky companies out there that have seen their stock price appreciate beyond what is reasonable. It's not the entire market. It's not the whole market. This is where we really have to parse out the market and saying, these are the areas that we want to focus on. Look, I'm willing to give up the massive gains, temporary as we think they may be, in a number of these high-flying stocks to focus on quality companies that should do well, not only just through this reopening, but in multiple different market environments.
Let me jump in on the back of that, if I can.
Sure.
Because there was another issue that we were talking about at the beginning of the year that was going to have some influence over some of the volatility that we've seen, Philip. And I recall us having a conversation about the earnings recovery that was expected to take place versus the move on interest rates, so higher inflation and interest rates moving higher. And the timing of those relative moves was going to have an impact on the market itself. If we got an earnings recovery ahead of an interest rate move, you know, it would be a much smoother ride. What we did get is, you know, that spike in interest rates, that 10-year treasury starting the year at about 91 basis points and then jumping up quite aggressively. Maybe you can speak to that environment and sort of the resulting volatility that we've seen because of it.
Certainly. We called it the orderly versus disorderly valuation correction, which one were we going to get? We can see, and I certainly wouldn't argue, and I think it's very hard to argue, that equity valuation isn't stretched. I mean, it's expensive. Markets are expensive right now. But in the context of a very, very strong earnings growth environment, I'm comfortable with that because this environment reminds me a lot of what we saw in the early 90s, where coming out of the 1990 recession and bear market, you saw the same thing. Valuation shoot higher ahead of earnings growth. And then in the following 3 years, 92, 93, 94, you saw that earnings growth realized and valuation came right back down to normalized levels. And that's, I would say, what we are seeing right now. First quarter earnings on a year-over-year basis for the S&P 500 were up over 50%. But we didn't get a 50% gain in the market in the first quarter. Well, why not? Well, we already priced in a lot of those earnings growth or that earnings growth last year. And so what we're actually starting to see now is the PE multiple on the S&P 500 moderate. Now, it's not back to normalized levels. It's still high. But as each quarter rolls on over the course of the next year or two, I expect a moderation of that valuation. Now, to come back to what Faisal said, and I think this will tie it all together, we had emerging markets that saw a correction, and we have the developed markets, think the US, Canada, Europe, that really hasn't. So I actually get encouraged by what we saw in the emerging markets with a correction. I think many people would argue that we could see a correction in the developed markets or in North American markets. Why haven't we? Maybe for the same reason that we're seeing that junk rally. Every time we get a 2 to 5% pullback, you have investors jumping into the market, pushing it back up. And so I think it all comes together where, yes, the emerging markets disappointed in the first quarter, didn't do what we think, but I'm okay because what we know is in an environment of strong earnings growth, if you get a correction and we're not headed towards a recession, odds are in our favor that we're going to see a positive return over the coming 12 months. The correction that we haven't seen in the US or Canada could be forthcoming, but we have a lot of investors and a lot of cash on the sidelines waiting for any dip to jump back in.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how to position going forward, given what you've just said. So good summary of sort of the factors at play here, but we want to learn how to position and take advantage of it in the next section. So the next segment, I know you'll stick around for that. So thank you for that, Philip. But before we take a break, Faisal, we've got to talk a little bit about our upcoming seminar. I mean, how do you both profit and protect as you go through these kinds of environments, whether it's what we're talking about today or challenges and opportunities in the future, whatever it's going to be. Retirement periods are long and we've got to make sure we've got proper structure and discipline to be able to take advantage of those things going forward.
And that seminar will be on Tuesday, May 18th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, that's great. So join us for that. We look forward to seeing you at the next webinar. But stick around after the break because we want to talk a little bit about how to position from this point going forward and how to take advantage of some of this volatility and the expected inflation. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.